Challenge layups are all back together for the final, for the second to last episode of the challenge season 36. Why would we have nice things? After all that happened in tonight's episode, it is just abundantly clear they had to make this two separate episodes. They couldn't have possibly gotten it all in one. Rob Dyrdek was screaming at me as soon as I turned it off because he was ready to go with another recap of, or another whatever, rerun of ridiculousness, and ridiculousness is what this episode was. For a final, again, somebody who hasn't watched it, seemed like it was a pretty uneventful episode, but I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Casey gets hurt, and spoiler or not spoiler, Casey's not going to finish this final. I don't know why we didn't really come to a conclusion on that tonight, but John, Annabelle, welcome back again. Another episode discussing the challenge, and next Wednesday, we're going to be here all over again, so I hope you're all ready for that, but what did we think about what went on in tonight's hour?
Yeah, not much to report here. I mean, it was running over some rough terrain. I would not personally want to do that. It looked like it was cold and windy, and it was very difficult to keep your balance on all those rocks, as we saw Casey just completely wipe out and hurt herself. So, yeah, fairly straightforward. The final is never exactly like, they always build up to it all season, but I never feel like it's the most interesting episode just because it's like a pretty cut and dry process personally.
John?
I think even in regards to like most other finals, this one felt really uneventful. Mm-hmm. Like it didn't seem all that challenging or grueling. They were just running. It wasn't this big, epic task that finals usually are. So I really hope they kick it up next week for the second half of it.
Yeah, and I feel like they're probably going to. I feel like they tried to use the terrain more than anything, but ultimately the terrain isn't necessarily what's interesting here. We want to see what they're doing. And I get that these portions are just meant to tire them out, but what I didn't like here is this first part of the challenge that then led to everybody just stopping together, and then they get like a 10-second. Like, what was the point of the 3-mile run? I get to tire them out, but there was no other real advantage to the 3-mile run, which I thought was kind of weird. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's how they go all the time, but to me, it just kind of felt like it was a uneventful 3-mile run that ends with CT and Amber, and then the first challenge happens and it's an even playing field because they all have to run against each other. Yeah, it might tire you out, but these are pretty fit people. I doubt 3 miles is killing them that badly, and they probably ran it at what, 10-11 minutes per mile. Like, they probably weren't going all that fast. We saw people walking and such, so I don't know. It just didn't seem that difficult to me tonight at all.
Yeah, and especially when you consider the fact that after the first checkpoint, TJ said that their release was based on the combined times of the team and the differences between them. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they were kind of let go like one after another, they were all neck and neck the entire first portion anyways. So it's not like it actually did anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It didn't really seem to matter. And like, this is seeming to be a final where you really kind of need to get a lead early, and then you'll hopefully be able to keep it. I mean, we knew coming into this, CT and Amber were going to be a force to be reckoned with because she has that endurance, and it has proved to be working for them pretty well so far. But with them having a lead, that kind of, you know, is sort of helping the rest of the pack kind of fall in line behind them a little bit. I think it would have to be something pretty crazy in the next leg for them to kind of lose their lead, in my opinion, just with how good CT is at what the checkpoints tend to be and with how strong of a runner Amber is.
Yeah. And these checkpoints, it was just rehashes of older challenges that we've already seen so far. And this first checkpoint, CT and Amber both win, and they both win their portion of it. And this is something that I've kind of complained about throughout the time, is that, okay, so CT runs his, he gets the fastest. Amber runs hers, she gets the fastest. Amber was the fastest. Okay. But it didn't matter that Amber was the fastest. Yes, she was the one who ultimately got to say, I get to decide if I keep my partner or not. But if she would have decided to pick somebody else, then CT would have been able to pick somebody probably. And then the two leftovers would have been who they were, and that would have been the new team. So I don't know. Like, I get that that was some sort of advantage, but I also think that with all of the shuffling that went on throughout the season, I don't really see a situation where anybody was going to change their partner unless somebody had gotten injured before this, because the people who are left, they'd already thought this through about how they're going to try to run these people. So I don't know. It seemed like not as big of an advantage as TJ made it out to seem like it was going to be in that first portion.
And if you're in first and it's going well for you, why would you switch then? Why would you fix something that's not broken already?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big thing too, is like, Amber and CT came in, completely dominated that part of the challenge. And then we see by the end of the episode, they're still dominating this entire final so far.
And what is it that they're going to lose at throughout the rest of the challenge? Because Casey and Fessy are done. We know that they're done. They're done. And Leroy and Nani are clearly bringing up the rear. I feel like Leroy and Nani are bound for third. And it's going to come down to Cam and Corey and CT and Amber. But what are Cam and Corey going to beat CT and Amber at right now?
Who knows? Who knows what could happen?
That answers
somebody,
that.
Somebody yeah. else could be injured too, right? Like,
Volcanic
terrain like this. Volcanic terrain like this is really hard to run on because it is quite loose most of the time. And I'm assuming that's just what happened with Casey here, is she stepped on something and it slid. And then pop goes her knee.
Yeah, you could see her knee was bending inward. So she had, she probably tore her ACL or MCL or whatever, PCL. Is it PCL, the other one? Whatever, she probably tore one of those ligaments or her meniscus or something, and that's probably what is causing, because it's kind of reminds me of the James from Survivor Heroes Villains, where he just can't put any weight on it, and every time he does, it bends in. And you know, people are going to say, Kaya B says Fessy was pushing her way too hard. I do think that that's the case, but I also think that this type of terrain, somebody's going to get injured no matter what. Like, there's a reason. Like, I ran cross country for years. We never ran on terrain like this. There's a reason for that. You run on grass, you run on gravel, you run on flat ground. If you're running on a hill, it's dirt. It's like, or it's grass or it's something like that. You're not running on rocks. And this is the exact reason. And again, it comes back to this season. It seems like some of the decisions made by the producers were always going to result in an injury, or we're putting people at a high risk for injury. The hall brawls between Fessy and whoever he's going against, the challenges that did result in the women getting pulled from the game, running on this type of terrain on the edge of a mountain with rocks. The smartest thing to do is just walk it and hope that whatever the challenge is, you can just get through it really quick. But I don't know. They want to go for the extreme in some of these cases. And I feel like instead they just end up getting the worst case scenario, which is now Casey gets hurt and she gets eliminated. It's not what we want to watch. Even though Fessy's a pain in the ass right now, that's not what you want to watch.
And the worst part about it is it gives Fessy this excuse that he only lost the final because Casey got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. She'll be a scapegoat. And even like in his confessionals, he was kind of ragging on the fact that, I put my butt on the line for you. I put myself in that final elimination. Like, he wasn't going to do that anyway. And like, he wasn't going to whoop Kyle's butt in that last elimination. Like, he was really in danger. I don't know. He's become very much an entitled diva on this season. And I'm personally not here for it.
Yeah. It just feels very phony. It just feels very, very, very phony. And it like when he's saying these things, it just feels like, oh, okay. Yeah. You put your butt on the line to run with Casey. No, you desperately got rid of Amber so you could run with Casey because you weren't thinking about it, because you let your emotions get in the way of it. And you said, oh, Amber sucks. I don't want to deal with this because she couldn't do a puzzle. Well, then be better at puzzles. And what's funny is like, do I understand his point? Yeah. If you don't think that they're going to let you continue on, why eat the nasty food? But also, they didn't eliminate her on the spot, which does say something, because if they really thought it was so bad, if she had to be pulled immediately, they would have said, okay, you're done. You're done. Like, that's it. Get out of here. You're done. But they let her keep going. And if they're going to let her finish out that leg of this with a little bit of a jog on that type of terrain, clearly they're confident enough in the structure of her knee to let her push it even a little bit. So eat the food and see what happens. Maybe all the running is out of the way. Maybe there is no more running. Maybe you got to run 800 meters. Walk 800 meters and hope whatever you get to is done. It takes 5 to 10 minutes to walk a half mile. And yeah, she's going to be limping, but carry her. You're this big, burly guy, carry her. And I think that – to see him stand there and not eat and say that it's, oh, it's because of Casey and we're not gonna be able to do anything anyway. It's like, but they would have eliminated you by now. And maybe it is still going to be a medevac. Maybe it is still going to be pulled, but he's going out looking so damn bad in this situation.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not a good look as a competitor. If you really claim to be such a competitor and want to win this so badly, wouldn't you at least try to give it everything within you to do what you can do and make up for your partner's shortcomings?
Mm-hmm.
How can you not exactly. try when Casey's literally limping her way through this final with you?
Right, exactly.
That's what I don't get. Casey is at the point where she can barely move, yet she is still there pushing him, and he's just standing there like a baby because he has to eat some gross food and drink some blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Courtney C says maybe they were thinking, and I'm assuming that they here is the producers. Maybe they were thinking that team was going to lose anyway, and since three teams are moving on, it wouldn't matter, so let them finish. See, here's the one problem with that, though. Eric Reichenbach gets medevaced when? He couldn't have made it one more day. They couldn't have just given him a shot and said, hey, man, like, here's some electrolytes. We want you to finish out the game, because getting medevaced at Final Five right after a tribal council is stupid. No, he got medevaced and he got pulled from the game. If there's serious danger, they're going to pull you every time. They don't care how close you are to the end. They don't care what the situation is. They're going to pull you from the game. Because now, if Casey and Fessy do end up finishing this food first, well, now you have a fourth place team, and then you're going to pull Casey and Fessy, and now you're running two people. And now we already know that it's just coming down to one of them, and that one of those teams is like, they're both guaranteed money. So I think that they would have pulled them. If they're really in danger, they're going to pull them. You know, they're definitely going to do it. And I do think, like, you know, everybody's saying in here, pretty sure it's her ACL, stuff like that. People do live, not live, but people are able to live normally with a torn ACL at times. I mean, Sean Merriman all those years ago tried to play linebacker with a torn ACL, and they were like, dude, he went one play. They pulled him from the game, and he didn't play again for the rest of the year. But it is something where structural damage to a knee is not life-threatening. So Fessy saying all of this, yeah, he might know, look, if we got to go 3 miles, Casey's never going to make it. That's probably true. But somebody else could get injured as well. And if you can get into the final three, you just got to try to find a way to beat one team. And with how slow Nani is, maybe Casey could beat Nani. Who knows? I think it's a quitter's mentality. That's really what all of this is to say.
Do we even know? Was it definitively said in the episode that this was the last checkpoint before the elimination?
Well, I think the explosion hinted at that. Because remember when Amber and CT were about to go, and then the explosion happened, and I think that was their way of being like, oh, okay, like this is it, you know?
Yeah, I don't think it was explicitly stated either, but I think it's just kind of a natural assumption with where the episode ended.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, like, okay, so they're in Iceland, and they film this over the summer, so it's daylight almost all the time there, so they probably have more hours of daylight, but they do give them, like, a little bit of a break at night, I think, to run or to, sleep and get something to eat. So I would imagine they'd probably have that next checkpoint to get them to the next day.
And if they have this next checkpoint and they go in and Casey's knee is all messed up, they could brace her knee. They could give her a brace like what they gave James in Heroes versus Villains, and she could get through. Like, she absolutely could get through. What's obnoxious about this now too is with her injury and with how this episode ended is there is no drama to who's going to get the food or anything like that. If Leroy and Nani get it, they're still going to finish third. If Cam and Corey get it, they're still going to finish second. It doesn't matter because Casey and Fessy has made it abundantly clear that he's just not going to eat the food, and he's going to say it's because of Casey that he's not eating the food, which, as I've said, could make sense. But I just think with the way this is going, if you would have been eating and somebody gets that, you might beat them. And now you kind of force the producer's hands to be like, well, how are you going to fix this? How are you going to shift this? Do you really want it to be that boring of a final? No, they don't want it to be that boring. they're going to try to come up with something on the fly. So I just think like it sucks how this episode ended. This to me is just a horrible hour of TV. I mean, it's horrible. Nothing happens. And then it ends with a not real cliffhanger because we know that Casey and Fessy aren't going to continue on. And it doesn't matter who gets the food. That's not a way to end this episode. Like, this should have been one episode. You know, there's no drama taking me out of this episode into next week. There's nothing.
Yeah, I agree. The challenge feels good when there are good challenges. Watching people run the entire time is not entertaining.
Mm-hmm. No.
And most boring. Of this episode was people just running.
Even like some swimming or some kayaking across those lakes we saw, like anything other than just like a foot race would have been more interesting to watch. I mean, Phil, no offense, I know you're a runner, but like if I can pick Olympic sports to watch, I'm probably not going to watch the marathon when I can
Did you ever notice they cut to commercial in the middle of 5Ks? Yeah. I mean, a 5K in the Olympics takes under 13 minutes and they still cut to commercial because it's too long and people don't need to watch it. Mm-hmm. If you watch the 10K on the track, they'll cut to high jump and such like in between all of that, because there's a lot of the time, nothing's happening in the race. It's a lot of pacing and sitting on shoulder and that's it. And yeah, like even if they're running on cool terrain, there's a reason why shows like Eco Challenge and whatever that Expedition Morocco or something like that, I forget exactly what it was called, but there was that other show with Team No Limits or whatever, where they had the blind guy on their team and the gypsies. I forget the name of the show, but it was on one summer and that was it. There's a reason those shows don't really last, and something like The Amazing Race does. It's because The Amazing Race, there's a lot of sprinting, but then there's a lot of other things going on. And so in this episode, it really was just a lot of nothing. It was just a lot of nothing. And then the eating portion, you're just getting frustrated with Fessy because you're like, come on, dude, like give me something to hold on to here. Like I need to be entertained and you're just not doing it for me, man. Like you're not giving the people what they want. And I wonder how TJ will react to this. I mean, I know the spoilers are out for who's going to be on season 37 or the rumors, whatever you want to call them. Is Fessy on season 37?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess TJ didn't give too much of a shit that Fessy just quit essentially here.
Yeah. And do you think production decided to bring back this gross food eating because nobody did it in that one daily challenge?
Probably. Yes.
Yeah, I would think so too. And it is a typical staple of a challenge final to have the nasty food. Cause it tends to be everybody's weakness. And like, it's not really something you can practice. I just don't know what they're going to throw at you, but I mean, it seemed like we saw in the overnight, like hellish challenge that Cam was like not having it, but she seemed to do pretty fine with it today. It was Corey who was having problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it seems like probably because Cam had nothing to lose or gain from the other one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Linda Spencer could have beaten them all at this though.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I was thinking. Like we were talking about beforehand, it was a liter of blood. It had to have been milk blood. You're not just drinking like a liter of blood is a lot of blood. There had to be something else in that blood.
That would be like a dangerous level of blood.
Yeah, that's a dangerous level of blood for sure. For sure. And yes, Linda Spencer. Now I have the image in my mind of, yeah, thank you. Thank you, Annabelle. Thank you for ruining my night. Yikes. Yeah. So, yeah, I do wonder if that is kind of why they did this, to kind of punish them and all of that. But I also think that this is something that is normally entertaining and all of that. But when you have a team that's just not going to eat right after an injury, see, what frustrates me is I almost wish that Casey got injured right after, because I want to see if Fessy would have done this anyway. And everybody says he sucks at eating anyway. So is he just using this as an excuse, is really what it comes down to.
That's what it feels like to me. And I don't know how he can do that to someone he's actually as close with as Casey. Like these two are best friends with each other. And this is how he's treating her in this final. It's pretty disgusting.
Yeah. It's just disheartening. Like when Casey's on the ground, yeah, you're obviously going to be disappointed because there's nothing you can do. And it sucks to know that like you made it this far and all that, but it's your second season. And while they're saying the price is zero, they're getting an appearance fee for all these episodes. Mm-hmm. Like that would be illegal to not give them anything for these episodes. Yeah. They have to give them something for these episodes because they're putting them on television. Like they have to give them something. And so I do think that, you know, like, I get the frustration, but to like kind of just like sit over the body and be like, come on, get up. I'm going to dress like, this isn't Joel and Chet and Fans versus Favorites. This is like, you know, people that like each other. And you think Casey wants to be laying on the ground with her knee busted? Like, come on. Come on. And maybe you should have just chilled. Nobody was, no matter how much you won that race by, what were you going to get, a 15-second head start? Like, who cares?
Yeah. And to see the juxtaposition between how Fessy was yelling at Casey and how Leroy was talking to Nani and just being so much more supportive. And like, he knew Nani was not the best runner. He knew that, but he was like, nope, I am not going to push her harder than she needs to be pushed. We're going to do this at her pace and just like, you know, do our best, hope for the best. And that's what you kind of have to do in these finals, is you just have to stay positive and you can't really play the blame game. That's not going to get you anywhere.
No, especially on a two-person team.
Exactly. It really comes down to the teamwork aspect of it, right? Where teams that cooperate, that get along together, are going to do better. And we see that with CT and Amber. I mean, Amber was pacing CT quite a bit in this today, but you didn't see Amber yelling, hey, CT, pick it up. Let's go. Because they had an understanding of how to approach a long-distance run together.
Yeah. Well, and they had that understanding of how to approach a long-distance run together. And for anybody who's knocking Amber throughout the entire season, which I was kind of one of them, I mean, her hall brawls were one against weak competitors. She comes out and she wins the female portion of the challenge tonight. She killed it in the run. Amber runs a second season. She's on a second season. People are going to be vying to have her as their partner if it's a partner type final, because she's proving that like CT's not carrying her through. And I think that's what's interesting about the teamwork aspect. She's also killing the individual aspect of it. And that is, there's a lot to be said for that, that we're not necessarily seeing from really anybody else tonight. And I think it's just because it was a stupidly short episode with not a lot going on. But yeah, she looked really good in this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Amber really impressed me throughout this season. And I'm really looking forward to seeing the conclusion of her story next week, because I do think she kind of came in and everyone was like, oh, you're just one of these easy layups. And she's proving her stuff right now that she can stick it. Like, CT was going on weeks ago about how Big T wasn't ready for a final. He doesn't have to say that about Amber, because Amber is just going, going, going. And she is proving herself right now. And it's really quite impressive.
Yeah, it is. It is. And the fact that she's teamed up with CT, who's won three finals, who people are already scared of anyway. They did it to themselves. Like, this was the last pairing decided. You all could have done something about this and you didn't. This was the last pairing decided. These were the leftovers. You could have changed that. You could have made it so that CT wasn't running with Amber. And again, I like the fact that CT isn't carrying Amber, because it takes that storyline immediately out of the equation. John, you just said something. You said you're looking forward to the conclusion of Amber's storyline next week. I'm looking forward to the conclusion of everyone's storyline next week. I just want to throw that in there too. Very much looking forward to the conclusion of every single storyline the challenge has ever presented me, as far as I'm concerned. But yeah. I don't know. Amber was impressive tonight, that's for sure. And I still think that had Casey not gotten injured, they actually were performing better than I thought they were going to perform. I thought that they were going to be a little too similar. Annabelle and I talked about that last week on our recap, where we were saying that they might not be the best position because they have a lot of the same strengths and a lot of the same weaknesses. But I do believe that they were performing better than I thought, and that they probably would have been okay. And I think Nani and Leroy probably would have been the team eliminated had had that all gone down without an injury. But instead we get the drama of who's going to be eliminated next week. Casey and Fessy. It's going to be Casey and Fessy. I mean, if
so much drama to look forward to,
that's your shocked. Yeah. You don't have much faith in your viewer MTV if that's the case.
Hey, for all we know, maybe it isn't as bad as we thought. Casey comes back, and then they end up winning.
I don't know. In Casey's confessional, she is sobbing, so I'm pretty sure that she's gone.
Definitely did not seem very happy about it.
She's definitely being pulled from the game because, you know, if you're like, damn, I'm sitting here like, oh, no, my knee, what am I going to do? But you still end up running it, you're going to be happy. She's crying. She's not finishing this final. And I hope, though, that it's not a medevac. And I hope that they just, that TJ just says, like, you guys are eliminated because you guys didn't eat the food. Because that would make me laugh. That would bring me great joy right now.
Annabelle, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, we all know how TJ feels about people who are quitters and don't try. I mean, I could see him chewing Fessy out. But, I mean, if he's on the next season, I don't know.
It doesn't seem like it was that big of a deal.
I don't think TJ doesn't have any say in casting, though. So that would,
yeah, but the producers could look down on that too. I mean, you got to remember, TJ getting mad is because the producers are telling him, "Hey, get mad.
That's true.
This is ridiculous." You know, it's not like he's acting on his own accord. They're telling him what he can get away with and what he can't get away with for sure. So,
So bring it back to the food here. Who should CT and Amber give this extra plating pitcher to?
I would probably just give it to Fessy and Casey at this point.
And then just like not have any bad will with any of the other teams? Or do you strategically, does it make more sense to give it to someone who's not injured so that maybe they finish last and then there's an injured team going on to the next leg?
That's what I would do.
I just think
whoever's right behind them.
See, what my problem with that is, I do think that there's a bigger gap than we're being led to believe. The fact that Fessy hasn't eaten a single thing yet, everybody else is making their way through the plate. So how much is this going to really slow down whoever's in second or third? And with how they've staggered this post checkpoints, it doesn't give me much faith that if CT and Amber give it to somebody and knock them to third place, that team's not just going to be able to pass them again. Now, maybe you give it to Leroy and Nani because they're going to be so far behind, because Nani is the slowest of the bunch. But that might not be the smartest thing either, because if it keeps being over this rough terrain, you're not going to build up that much of a lead on Nani. And Leroy and Nani could easily come back, and if they get any chance to screw you over, they're going to do it. So I think that you give it to – I think you just give it to the others. Pat Sox says the other two teams won't give it to each other, so I'd give it to one of them. I get that, but – I still think that right now I don't think it matters. Like, again, I just don't think it really is going to make a difference at all.
Also, as far as gross food goes, this doesn't look as bad as like the gross food eating challenges on, say, Survivor. This meat isn't like swarming with flies or anything like we've seen in some seasons of Survivor. Is it really all that bad? Or is it just the fact that they've been running 5 miles already and now they have to eat this food as quickly as possible and drink a liter of blood?
The blood is bad. I think the blood is bad. And then what makes me laugh is you get the blood, but in this show, because you can just throw it up and that still counts, I think they just try to get it down as fast as possible, which is why they end up throwing up so much more. Whereas on Survivor, you know, they have to keep it down. So I think that's what ultimately is kind of setting this apart from a show like that. But like, it's more of a mind game. I mean, you know, you're eating ram testicles. Oh, no. And it's like, okay, but like, that's more of a shock for the viewer to be like, haha, they're eating balls. Like, that's all it is. You know, like, it's more of a, ooh, that's gross or whatever. But at the end of the day, like, people eat all different parts of animals all the time. I mean, just if you're in the U.S., you eat one thing. But then if you go to Europe, you eat something else. You go to Asia, you eat something else. So, like, I mean, the odds that these items are that disgusting, I highly, highly doubt it. I really do. I highly, highly doubt it.
Yeah.
I think it just slows you down more than anything. It's like more junk in your stomach that you don't want there. And, you know, running on a full stomach is not fun. So
they should do the Krispy Kreme thing where you have to eat the 12 12 donuts. The NC State Challenge. I forget what it is. I forget exactly how much it is, but I know there's something with a dozen donuts at least. And you have to run a 5K, and that, I mean, damn. You better hydrate before that, otherwise you're going to be having stomach troubles on your way to that finish line. That is for sure. I don't think it really matters what it is. And it's all a mind over matter thing. I mean, they say that all the time, because at the end of the day, none of these shows are going to give you something that's going to hurt you or kill you or do anything dangerous to you. And so because of that, it's a mind over matter thing. That's all it is.
And how are you feeling about Cam and Corey? They're the team that we just haven't mentioned at all today.
Because they didn't do anything.
But they also weren't very present today.
Yeah, I think I was expecting to see a little bit more from them as a team. And they're certainly not doing poorly by any means, just because by nature of the episode, we just didn't get a lot of content from them. But I think, like, assuming the momentum will continue, which I have a hard time, like, thinking that it won't, I think Cam and Corey are kind of destined for second, which would mean they would split, what, 100,000, TJ said?
100,000 for second place. So they would
get 50,000 each, and then if Amber and CT do end up taking it home, they'll get 450K each, which is pretty good.
Which is a really good amount of money. Yeah, I mean, for sure. And yeah, Cam and Corey, I mean, they most of their episode tonight was actually before the final started, like in that, oh no, the room and things like that was really where most of their stuff came from.
Yeah. How did you feel about that beginning segment where it's just like people talking about, oh my God, we finally made the final, and just like setting up storylines? Because to me, it kind of just felt like it was rehashing things we talked about all season.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think you need to have something of it. I think there needs to be something in there to kind of give us, oh yeah, it's the final and we're excited about it. But when it's 15 minutes of an hour long episode, that's a part one to the finale.
I think they just flat out run out of content, to be honest. I mean, like Phil said, it's kind of like something natural to put in there. I mean, they do it in Survivor when they talk to all the finalists before the final tribal, and they just get their little voiceovers while they're eating the breakfast and being like, oh, I can't believe I made it. Like, I think this is my game, how I'm going to explain it. But like, because there's like less game, you don't have to explain your game in the challenge. You just have to win. It's just like physical at the final. So there's really only so much to discuss. And yeah, I mean, how many times do we need to see them go into the party bubble?
Yeah, and I would have liked, I mean, it would have worked the same way if they would have all just been walking up to the line today, and it starts off with, oh, I can't believe we're here, and they get their confessional, like, you know, kind of like what they do before they go into the crater, and it's confessionals like that, and then they just go. I mean, yeah, I think Annabelle's right. They've run out of content, and so they're trying to fill the hour because they gotta stretch this out over 2 weeks so that, you know, I waste a full January, February, March, April, and part of this. Yeah, 4 months of my life on this. I don't know. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure next week's episode's an hour and a half, too.
Well, maybe, if it's the reunion, there'll be more to discuss.
Yeah, so is the reunion in there as well? Is that why it's an hour and a half?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's my guess. Because I don't think there's anything after next week. Like, I don't think the reunion is separate. I think they've kind of combined the two, and they'll probably I hope this isn't the case, but I feel like they're going to open with like whoever's hosting the reunion and have all the contestants on stage all dressed up, and then they'll talk about it, and then they'll show the finale. Like, final part of the run, or the final. Mm-hmm. That would be my guess.
That makes sense. I got nothing else. I mean, I get what you're saying. I really have like nothing. I have nothing else to say because, you know, like I said, there's no cliffhanger here. The cliffhanger is fake. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm just into, I don't know. I mean, it's just like, okay, if next week's an hour and a half, great. I just hope that it's good. I hope that it's exciting, and I hope there's something going on, and I hope there's more than what we saw tonight. I mean, tonight just flat out wasn't that exciting, and we know how next week's episode is going to start. And I think that's what also is kind of a bummer.
Yeah, because they're going to spend 15 minutes rehashing what we just watched today.
Right. Yeah.
And people are saying in here that the reunion is an episode on its own. I mean, so that's the end of April. I mean, when is the Challenge 37 starting? So when are they filming? Are they doing that over the summer? Is that something that they normally do? They film it over the summer?
Usually, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then it comes on at the same time. Like, it'll be on in the winter again. Okay. Got it. Just wondering. That makes sense. Okay, cool. Got it. Makes sense.
You going to cover 37, Phil?
No.
You want to swim back?
Even with Michelle and Tommy, two of my favorite people, no, I'm not doing it. And I love the other Michelle, and I love Michaela, and I love Jay, and I love that. And no, I don't see us doing it. I don't see us doing it, especially with Survivor being back on the air. I just don't see it happening. But who knows? Maybe this is our moneymaker. Maybe we're going to be millionaires because of the challenge, and because people like to come listen to us like nag on the challenge. You know, like it's such a terrible thing. Like, I feel like I never say anything positive, but I feel like at the beginning I was so into it, and then it's just gotten to the point where I'm like, come on, man. Like, let's go.
I mean, overall, in like the history of the challenge, this is one of the worst seasons, I would say.
Yeah,
it, I would agree. Thanks, turned out, I'm sorry. I couldn't have predicted that beforehand.
But we're doing this because our patrons asked us, okay? I'm just saying.
But it's dragged, and that's what it comes down to. And I think one of the big things that we've learned from this season of the challenge isn't so much the challenge itself is not boring. The challenge can be very exciting, but just like we've talked about with other reality shows, when their cast is too large, your season drags and your fan base isn't going to like it as much.
Yeah.
There was no need for this to be a 30-person season. Heck, six people were medically evacuated or left for other reasons. So this was a 24-person season, and it was still too many people.
Yeah.
Get back down to it. Sorry, what was that, Annabelle?
Oh, I was just going to say, I get that they like want to include, obviously, their new casting finds that they've pulled from other reality shows, as well as all of the classic vets that people watch the challenge for. Like, everybody loves Leroy. Everybody loves Cam. Everybody loves CT. Like, I get it. But yeah, exactly. Like you said, the cast is too big. Like 30 people for a show like this, it's just not necessary. And I don't think it needs to be 18, 19 episodes either. That is a lot of your life to dedicate.
Yeah, you're taking up almost half a year with it. And I guess right now it's at a third pretty much, but that's a lot. Yeah.
And maybe they're struggling for viewers, like MTV in general. I don't know, but I think like 12 would have been a good sweet spot for this, because you would have had more action. Things would have moved quickly. Like 18 is just too many.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, we've been saying that for a couple weeks now, where it feels old. It feels stale. It feels like, you know, whatever. And you know what? If maybe a big cast could work if there's more going on in the episodes, but it hasn't felt that way necessarily. So coming up to episode 19 next week, SPF fans or SP fan 68 says tons of scripted shows are 23 episodes. Yeah, but that's different.
It's scripted. This is not.
Yeah, that's different. And if notice back and watch a show like Lost, and even though season one is unbelievable and I love season three, go look at how many of those episodes don't need to be in there, and how the show becomes much more succinct in season four and season five, and then season six is what it is. But like that happens all the time. Why are TV shows so much more popular nowadays? Shows like Game of Thrones and like, you know, whatever else is on HBO, at Breaking Bad, Mad Men, all of those shows, is because they're 10 to 13 episodes. It's because they're short seasons, and that's because there's no filler, or if there is, it doesn't feel like there's as much filler because you're ripping through it.
Yeah.
You know, this feels like there's a lot of filler.
Big Little Lies, like any sort of like limited series, people just eat that up.
Yeah. And that's why like these CBS type shows have gone out of style. People don't, you know, oh, it's America's most watched network. Yeah. Because people just turn the TV on and it's on, you know what I mean? So that's kind of like, you know, NCIS, NCIS New Orleans, those types of shows, they're on, but that doesn't necessarily mean people are like engaging with them the way they engage with some of these other shows that might have less viewers, but people are certainly streaming and seeking out long after they actually air on TV. Anyway, all of that is just to say it's been too long, too long. Adrian Celeste says the old, not that, where's the other one? Oh, they're quarantining Croatia. Good thing Brett and Chris are not on this season. Because if we know one thing about Brett and Chris, it's that once they get to Croatia, they can never, ever leave. So poor Brett and Chris. They're still in Croatia, I think. I think when we had Brett on the podcast one time, he was coming to us live from Croatia, and he was still in that body of water looking for whatever the hell he was looking for. So, yeah, they're not rumored to be on. So that's good for all of them. But that's all I have to say about this episode. I don't have anything else to say. Annabelle, John, do you have anything else, or should we just be prepared for next week to be our final week?
I'm just ready for next week to put a conclusion to this season, wrap it up, put it in the past. Hopefully we get a compelling enough storyline in this last episode to give us some closure on this and make it not feel like a complete waste of time.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Annabelle?
I just hope we close the loop for Leroy. I think with how many seasons he's done and how big of a staple he's been, and just you know, with him being a good competitor and like at this point, it doesn't look like he's going to win this one either. I just really hope we get a nice little bow on his 12 season story arc, because he's really been like a great addition, I think, to their casting pool. I think he's like a good representative of somebody who like can be on MTV and like not be a total fool. I hope we get a nice conclusion for Leroy. It does suck that like this is his last season, with it ending the way it probably will and with it being fairly dry, but
yeah.
That's my only comment about next week. I think it's been a lot of fun podcasting. I wish the content were a little bit more exciting, but I've thoroughly enjoyed discussing it with y'all.
Awesome. Well, I've enjoyed discussing it with both of you too, even if I just am negative about the entire thing. But John and I talked about Fight Club and Cabaret last night. So if you're into movies, go watch that. Alexa and I finished our classic Survivor series with episode 10. So check that one out. Become a patron, patreon.com/survivorspecialist. Going to be a little bit less content next week because we're not going to have the classic Survivor series, but John and I will still be back. And Alexa and intern are still doing Survivor South Africa. Otherwise, we're going to be wrapping up the challenge next week. So make sure to tune in for that. And we will see you all then.